So we're right at the beginning of this new series called Destiny. Last week, we took a bit of a flyover, overview look at how that we're going to spend a couple weeks on how to understand our destiny. We're going to take a couple weeks, maybe more than for anything else, because IMTA's a bit slow discovering, so we thought we'd double up the number of weeks. And so that'll be the finding section, and then the living it, okay? And we won't take forever, because why? You're going to take forever living your destiny. So that won't be forever. So we're trying to think about, how do we understand this? And if you want to know where to go, you go to the information booth. You go to Cresta, you're not sure where to find, look and listen. You go to that little lady who sits in that cubicle, who I think she wraps things as well, or near where they wrap presents. So all you need to do is just go ask her, like, so I need to find this place. And she'll tell you where it is. So today, hopefully, this is going to kind of be like that. All I want to do today is show you some examples of people who have lived destiny. And out of the stories, so if you don't mind, I'm just going to tell a couple stories, examples, stories. And then I want you to be looking to find out, so what are some of the common things in these different stories? And I'd refer to some of them, some I'll leave them a bit more cryptic. And that should help us figure out, so that's what destiny is. And that's how I can maybe figure it out and find it. And it's a historical journey, okay? So we're going to start from before the world began. There was an old man with white hair, and he was needed to do something really special because there was a family of people who lived in one little spot. They had gone into a foreign land, and they'd become quite well known there. They were protected because the king of that land gave them shelter. He was quite kind to them, but they had begun to multiply like bunnies. So the one family became like three families, became 10, became 50 million, billion, 100, quadruple, gazillion people. And so there was this huge, huge crowd of people, and a new king arose, and he didn't actually know who they were, and he decided to put them into slavery. And these people who became known as the Israelites were enslaved by quite a cruel Egyptian. As Africans, we're not normally cruel, but this guy became quite cruel, and he was using him. He made their life unbearable. And people were crying out to God, and you need to know that when you cry out to God, maybe not today, but he has heard you, and the response is coming. Maybe it's tomorrow, maybe it's a couple of days' time or a year's time, but he will put things in motion where you will be saved and delivered. And he worked by raising up this chap by the name of Moses, Charlton Heston. Oh no, it was Moses, long before a movie was made about it. And he had something special to do. He needed to go to the king and say a couple words. Let my people go. Simple. But when you're a nobody and you come and stand in front of a king and you say, those slaves, you're free, workers, let them go so that they can go worship God and find themselves a new land. The king isn't always partial to that. Could you imagine if Moses had thought, that's a big thing. I could get killed. God, that's not really wise. Maybe you could send someone else. In fact, at one point, Moses did doubt. It wasn't all bravery. God had to show him some magic tricks, like take that stick, throw it on the ground, it's going to become a snake. I will give you some plagues that you can unleash in this land. I think Moses was less than confident that Pharaoh was going to be positive. I thought he might have wondered whether he was just going to lose his neck. But he did. He rose up, he walked in front of the king, and he said, let my people go. And it took 10 plagues before Moses led the people out. We would have a very different world today if that instance hadn't taken place. Moses accomplished what God wanted him to do. Sometimes our destiny is presented in a dramatic way. Not everyone's experience is like that, but there are times when it's dramatic. I'm not sure if I was that young man, I would want to face that dude. Friday night, I try to hang a teddy bear up by its neck, up on the back, and Max saw me out of the corner of his eyes. Who was here Friday night? Did you see Luke's friend Max? He shook my hand, and I'm still getting work done with constructive work to get my bones back into place. I've been at the therapist all week, occupational therapy. The dude was huge. When I looked at him, I just gave him the bear, and I said, dude, you take the bear. You can have the bear. In fact, I'll give you money even. And he let me go, and I'm only here because I gave him money. David stared up at Goliath the monster. You see, what was happening was that once again, the people were in trouble. And God needed to raise up someone who would bring about change. The people were divided into different tribes. There was a king. And so God says to this little guy who does kill a bear along the way, kill a lion along the way. He slayed this Goliath and chopped his head off. His parent guarded 17, unfortunately, so I can't show that video. But at some point, God says, you will be king of the people. Same like Moses, David is like, I think maybe you got the wrong guy. I'm like this nobody. I'm just this kid. I've got these big brothers, and they big brutes. Some of his brothers were bigger, believe it or not, than Max. They were huge. 30 years later, David is appointed king. I don't know about you, but if you tell me that I'm going to be the CEO of Nedbank, and in 30 years' time, I'm still wondering why I'm not the chief executive officer of Nedbank, I'm going to think that you got it wrong. And you? It took 30 years for David's destiny to be fulfilled, and he becomes the king of the whole of Israel. He unites north and south, Judah and Israel, into one powerful force and brings a period of unknown peace and prosperity to the people. Destiny doesn't always come in a day, does it? Sometimes it's out there. It's a little bit further. But I think God wants us to know that it will come. In its time, it will take place. You might be waiting for something that you sense should be happening in your life, and it's like, well, I'm still dealing with this crud. What's going on, God? And God says, just a little while longer, it's going to come. It will become a reality. A couple years later, there's a chap by the name of Robert Kearns. Let me get his name right. He's got six children. I'm feeding three. Six must be like about 2 million rand a month for food. You know, you pull into Pick and Pay and you get six trolleys, one for each of your sons. And you fill that sucker up with like meat and steak and bread and rice and pap. Can you imagine how much it must have cost him? He invents something absolutely amazing. He invents not the windscreen wiper, but the intermittent wiper. Now, it might not seem a big thing because most of you don't drive, but Imta knows. When he's driving and it's just that low kind of that low drizzle rain, it's not like belting down. And you can't use the wiper that goes dunk, 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 because it's hard in the ears. And you're playing your cool music. You want to listen to the music. You want dunk, 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 dunk. Okay? And it's mesmerizing. Some people have gone into a trance and they've traveled to other worlds and had an accident. No, you didn't have that happen to you at all. But what you want is you want that very gentle dunk, 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 dunk. Because that's very calming and soothing. And it's ideal. So he takes his invention to all the big car companies, Ford and Chevrolet and everyone, and they turn him down. They're not interested in his invention. But you know what they do? They use it anyway. And a massive, long court battle ensues. And you know what? He gets a hefty payout in the end for his invention. I'm sure at one point he must have thought, you know what? I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to go street sweeps, or even sweep streets, which is a lot better than sweeping sweeps. And so that flash of genius in the end turns into a life of reward. Again, it seems like sometimes it takes a bit of time. Be patient. God is not slack in fulfilling his promises. God will do what he says he will do in and through you. And sometimes some of you might have to have a court battle down the line. God doesn't say you can't ever go to court to fight for what's right, either for someone else or for yourself, a flash of genius. There was another example of someone who lived destiny, also in about the 60s. Again, in a world that was very unfair, a world where the Klan was ruling, the Ku Klux, and they were oppressing people. Slavery was rife. Once again, people are oppressed. And God touches this man, Martin Luther King Jr. And here's his vision, his dream, his destiny.
I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there,
some of our celebrities also champion the cause of the least, of the unheard, those living in poverty. Maybe those, like even years back, Princess Diana was campaigning for resources to be allocated to clear landmines out of fields. And can you imagine if one day you're just walking nearby your village and you strike a landmine? And a landmine was designed to raise out of the ground until about this height, with a pre-explosion, and so that when it hit about the size of your knee, it would then go off and blow your knees out from underneath you. And that's why so many people across this continent are amputees, because they have been wounded. If she didn't campaign, if he didn't rise up and say, I'm going to speak up, maybe I can't bring all the change myself. And in fact, Martin Luther King didn't bring all the change himself, but he spoke out, yes, paid with his life in the process. But he brought justice. He brought equality. He set in motion, you know, last week we spoke about Nelson, and we'll see that in just a minute. People like this have helped by living their destiny to bring a better life for you all. You have a better life today. I have a better life today because people like Nelson have done and brought change. Listen to what he said at that famous trial that he was at.
I have fought against white domination. And I have fought against black domination. I have cherished the ideal of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an ideal which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die.
For Martin Luther King, he actually died for his ideal. For our own Madiba, he's retired now at 92, sitting last week in his couch underneath a blanket or two. He has lived a long life campaigning for the poor, bringing about change so that you and I can live a better life. The Bible challenges us to speak up for those who have no voice, to do good works for the lesser, for the poor, for the suffering, for the sick, for those who have no means. Maybe your destiny lies in something like what one or two of them have done. I want to show you one more person that you might relate to. Mark Elliott Zuckerberg. Very well-known person. Everyone before this morning, you know this name, right? You know this name backwards. Who hadn't heard of this name before I mentioned now? Mark Elliott Zuckerberg. Are you Are you kidding me, guys? This is one of the most influential men, young men of our time. Every single day of your life, most of you connect with him in some way. He's not a man by the name of Ben. He invented something else. What did Ben invent? Not Facebook. Ben invented MySpace. This is the Facebook guy, Elliot Zuckerberg. Sad name. But he invented something. He took his ability with technology, with the internet. He created a way that you and I can interact. How we can embarrass each other by uploading the worst possible photos and tagging each other. I mean, already from Friday night, some of you have been tagged. I did it last night at the Ignite fan page where I tagged you all. If you were looking weird, Ellery, on a picture, you were actually looking stylish. So you're okay. You don't have to untag that. But we connect with each other because he took his abilities, his unique abilities, not necessarily, wow, look at me, I'm saving the world, I'm Nelson Mandela, but I'm going to do something. And I bet you he's rewarded. I don't think he drives a 1994 Toyota Corolla like I do. I think he's doing all right. Don't you think that? I think he's doing all right, mind you. He's doing all right. What about another group of inventors? And in fact, we don't even know their names. I've found out the name Eunice Hermanus, could be one of the inventors of a little technology down in Stellenbosch University that most of you use every day of your life, known as Mixit. Again, some young guys with brains, brains, probably geeky. That's why you don't see their faces. They're probably like really nerdy looking. But I tell you what, they invented something that has changed the way you immediately send messages to each other. And it's flying around the world. So many people from a little university town down near Cape Town, a brand that has become world known. How many of you have skills that you can use? You don't have to go and find the skills. I think everyone, every example that we've used this morning, it was within them already. They didn't have to go and study to learn to do it. God put his finger on them. And he showed them that there was something that they would do. And I want to suggest for the series and a way to understand destiny is that it's a specific task that God wants me to do on earth. It's something for me to do. It's probably not selfish. It's probably not just about me. It might reward me, but it would certainly help others. I'm looking out, as you need to be doing, for that thing that God wants me to do. It may not just be one thing. There might be a season in which you accomplish something and then later in your life something else. But it's that task that God wants you to do. And he's calling you into that. And we're going to explore as we figure out in the coming weeks how to identify it, that it lies at the intersection of four things. The intersection of my ability, my passion, some need out in society, and a conviction or a conscience that I have that's driving me towards this thing that I should do. It's the intersection, if you like, right where those four roads and where they meet. That's your own unique destiny. That's why mine and yours can never be the same. Because my ability is different to you, is it not? My passions, the things that enthuse me and give me a drive and a go forward in life, are very different to you. And that's why God has made us unique, I believe. Because there are different needs in society that we need to be meeting, and we all have different convictions. And so my destiny will use my ability. And in these coming weeks, you're going to look at what are those things that I have the ability to do. In these weeks, we're going to look within and say, what are we passionate about? What is that thing that energizes me that when I do it, time just flies? What needs are around me? And for some of us, we might need to look out a bit broader and not just think, well, hey, I'm the need. I'm the person standing in the hour of need. It didn't look like Stone in Uganda was a wealthy guy. I'm sure he could have said, hey, I have needs. I need people to give me a salary. But he looked around and he saw boys with needs. And he rose up and his conscience forced him. It pushed him forward. And so when my destiny matches and meets my unique ability, my passion, a need around me, my conscience, I'm able to answer that question, God has put me on earth too. And as we close this morning, I want you to think for a minute about what this could be. I don't want you to try and figure it out, but I want you to at least, as we come before God, I want you to be saying, God, I'm going to open myself up to whatever it is that you want me to do. We've seen examples throughout history. Help me, when the time is right, to figure this out. And maybe it's going to be in these coming weeks, or maybe it's going to be, you know, now for later. God, I want to know what you want me to do that's going to bring change, that's going to touch lives and bring about a new way of living, a new way of being, or it's going to do something yet for people not even born, maybe. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, being born is the easy part. Figuring out what this life is all about is the tougher challenge. And God, we want to pray that in these next few weeks that you would come and that you would give us a clear picture of what it is that you want us to do. That thing, Lord, that you're tapping us on the shoulder about and saying, this is for you. Yes, you may not feel adequate. Yes, you may have tried something and it didn't work. Yes, you may be needy yourself, but when you do this thing, you will be fulfilled and you will even be rewarded for it. And so, God, even now, begin to prepare our hearts for that thing that you would have us do. And maybe it's going to be one thing in this coming year, as immediate as that. It's going to be something that we would do in our late teens, in our 20s, something in our 30s, in our 40s, 50s, 60s, even in our 90s, like Mandela, who's given his birthday as a day to change the world where people are serving you with 67 minutes of their time. Father, whatever it is, I pray that we would be ready and willing to do what would be our moment to change lives around us. Find us willing, Lord God. And so even now, Lord, break away something, break away some doubt, break away fuzziness. Come and speak and bring revelation truth of what it is that you're going to have us do. Bring us back for the next 2 weeks as this journey becomes clear. In the incredible name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.